Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Colaiacovo. In the break, Justin Rose just birdied another hole. He birdied 16. He's at 7 under. 7 under par. He has a 4-shot lead on Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama at 3 under. Then you got Will Zalatoris at 2 under. Webb Simpson's in there. Reed, he's under par. Siwoo Kim is under par. There's a lot of guys at even or worse, including Bryson DeChambeau, who's 5 over through 14.
Yikes.
Your boy, Patrick Cantlay, 5 over through
14. Dude, my team sucks. I want to do a redraft tomorrow, seriously.
My team isn't much better. If we can, like, you got McIlroy at 4 over. Your team sucks. Your team's
like,
really
sucks. I don't have anything good happening.
You have Patrick Reed. I got nothing. I have nothing. I don't think I've got anything really in the red. I got Rahm at even par, but that's about
it. Aren't you guys doing that sort of substitution?
Dude, I want to gas everyone except Reed, honestly. Everyone's 5-6 over. It's a joke. My whole team sucks.
Well, if the grappler can send us the list of where our guys are at currently,
should have already been sent.
Maybe in about a half an hour, we'll revisit this and maybe do something crazy. You know, maybe
after we talk to Rolf, maybe we do something.
Okay.
I tell you what, one player you guys should take is Tommy Fleetwood because he just aced the 16.
You're kidding me.
Hole in one, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy, good
number
man.
Number 16.
All right. So the course is playing tough. It's playing very tough. Mackenzie Hughes shot an even par. That's really impressive. You know, that's
yes.
You go and do that again tomorrow or get under par. You're playing into the weekend and you're in the mix. Corey Connors, 1 over par. Like that, there's some Canadian content up there in top 30. But a lot of the big boys, again, not having the greatest day. Where Dustin Johnson, 2 over. Koepka, 2 over, which considering his knee, that's actually pretty impressive. But we mentioned DeChambeau's in a bad spot. McIlroy's in a bad spot. Thomas has not been playing so well. I can't find him here on the board. But last time I checked, he was 2 over. He's 2 over through 13. So, you know, there's a lot of movement here. We've still got guys on the course on day one of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But this court, man, you knew they were doing this. You knew they were going to do this. They hated 100%. Seeing those guys do what they did in November. And it is set up for destruction. Like, there was – the grappler sent us a video of a guy putting, like, a 20-footer
for
off
Eagle.
The green for Eagle Weisberger, into the water.
Yeah. Yeah, 15-footer for Eagle, put it in the water.
That one's tough. That one you got
to
chew
I
on
think
a
he had
bit.
To go back across the water for his next shot. Mom
the way
positive.
It was described was that he actually drops it back where he putted it, and he's putting for par instead of Eagle.
Jeepers, creepers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's no. You talk about setting someone off. I can't even tell you what I would shoot on the next hole if I hit an eagle putt into
wires
the water.
Wires crossing.
I would half my bag would be around the nearest tree.
That's a sharp move.
Oh, the epitome of it. That might start Shart Week.
And we're getting a lot of vibes on Shart Week.
Yes, buddy. That's a great bit you guys got going on. You should definitely make it happen.
We'll get a logo made with a shark. Maybe Greg Norman. I don't know. Maybe this
Norman's
is the logo.
Norman's the logo. Like this, we're wearing these hoodies again. That is the logo right there. There's no greater picture. How he ends up in that stance with a putter in his hand. I need the explanation. Like that is exactly what we're talking about. We will explain what happened here, and that's the kind of content you're going to get.
Yeah. Maybe we got to get somebody like Vern Lundquist, who was in close in that tournament. Somebody who was walking in the ropes, inside the ropes for that collapse, and just give us like a – it's going to be like a documentary-type week.
Oh, it'll
be
incredible.
I'm excited about it.
I'm very excited about this. So, anyway, we'll catch up with Mark Rolfing a little bit later in the hour, get his take on what's going on down there, Justin Rose putting on a clinic, and we may revisit the draft. We might have to because a lot of our picks have been, quite frankly, terrible.
But, how about we do this? We try to eliminate the garbage, like the worst one you got today, and then maybe we chisel away at it tomorrow and we subtract a couple more donkey picks.
Yeah.
But do you make a rule that you can't pick Rose? Because, I mean,
that's
dude,
it.
No, no, we're not doing that. We are not. We're big boys. You flip a coin, Coco.
No
here's what
way,
we're going to do.
After
we talk to Rolf, flip a coin, and the winner gets to substitute their garbage guy for Rose.
This is The Bachelor, basically. Someone's going to get a Rose and kick some clown to the curb.
That's it. I want it. You want it or not?
It's coming down to a coin flip. Yeah, okay. I'll gamble with you.
Yes! Yes!
I don't even know
Bang!
If I want Rose.
Let's go, boys.
I don't even know if I want him because I don't think it's gonna. I don't think he's going to win the tournament. Like, he's 700 through 17. He's having the round of his life. He's a great player. He's
I'll
the number
bet
one player in the world.
Right now he wins the tournament.
I don't Ooh. Think he's going to win the tournament. I just don't think so. 500?
Wow. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's have a coin flip and a conversation.
I'm taking the sweater off. I got to get rid of this vibe from Norman.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, man. Our picks are so bad, and the pools that we're in, we got six teams in there. They're just filled with Greg Normans in 96. That's what it is. Can you imagine how awful that would feel if you had Norman in a pool in 96, outright winner for like 100 grand, and you watch
Yikes.
Him perform the way he performed?
Can you imagine Yikes. If you're on the driving range in the final round and you're in the final group and your competitor had this hoodie on warming up on the range?
That would set the tone, I think. I'd love it. He is Fox Sports MLB analyst, Flipping Bats with Ben Verlander podcast host, and this is going to be really cool. Here's Ben Verlander. What's happening, Ben?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing well. We're just talking about people melting down. At Augusta National, like Greg Norman back in 96. That's the most famous one where the guy was just chugging and he just melted on Sunday. But we love it. Like we love just watching meltdowns. And how do you feel about that?
Everybody loves a good meltdown, I guess.
Yeah.
We can just relate to it. You know, we can relate to it, especially on a golf course.
Well, what's the baseball? We're going to do a week. We're not going to tell you the name of the week, what we're going to call it. But we're basically going to do meltdowns in baseball, that like historic meltdowns. Is it? Do we go to the Buckner incident? Is that where we go to in baseball?
Yeah, you know, Buckner's the one that jumps out. But I think, you know, there's something about guys getting the yips that really intrigues people. Like, nobody really understands it, but it's like very much so a thing. And it like is kind of seen as like a meltdown, so
like Knobloch,
I feel like we'd
type
have to
stuff?
Have the yips in there somewhere too.
Yeah,
wouldn't Pedro Martinez be a good candidate for that when he was in Boston against the series against the Yankees? I can't remember what year
yeah.
it was.
I mean, yeah, and Knobloch. I mean, you can throw a bunch of guys in there.
Yeah.
Ankiel,
absolutely. Lester
Ricky
can't pull the ball to
Ankiel.
First. That might be it, man. That might be exactly
Lester
what we're looking
can,
for.
Lester cannot throw the ball 60 feet. I mean, he can't throw it 60 feet to first, but he can throw it 60 feet to home better than most people in the entire world. It's incredible.
Right. It is incredible. That's a good idea. That's a good angle for us. Well, the Jays are in action tonight. They're back home in Dunedin, and they got the Angels in town for four. They're 3-3 currently on the season, but some tough news again with Springer, George Springer. He's going to remain on the IL. It looks like he will not play on this homestand, which is going to take him through at least April 15th. Now he's got a quad injury. Where do you stand on a guy like Springer, who's had some nicks and bruises throughout his career, starting this new endeavor in this new era of his career on the IL here in Toronto?
Yeah, it just sucks, man. Like, I really like George Springer, and I know, you know, I was so happy for him when he signed, and he was one of the biggest signings of the offseason, and gets him, you know, the new deal. And I know he really wanted to go there and do well. I just feel bad, man. Like, you know, it sucks for him, and he wants to get going and do well in his new city. I just feel bad for him being on the IL to start the year, and then this other little thing coming up, and he's going to stay on the IL. I'm excited to watch him. You know, this team is going to be a lot of fun to watch, and he's gonna be a big part of that. Hopefully.
Speaking of fun to watch, this Ohtani is becoming a phenomena. The way like pitching over a hunch. Exit velocity off the charts. Like, how special a player do you think this guy can ultimately be? Like, can he dominate the headlines in MLB? Not that he's probably already not, but just your overall big picture of this guy.
I mean, I don't know. He's already dominating the headlines on my Twitter. I feel like I tweet about him almost every other tweet, but it's almost like rightfully so. Like, this guy is doing things that has not been done in baseball. I mean, you look at guys that have done both, and one that sticks out is Babe Ruth. But Babe Ruth was like throwing 80 and shoving hot dogs down his throat. Like Ohtani's like doing it at the, like throwing 100 and hitting absolute bombs. And it's like, it's really cool to watch. I tweeted the other day that he's my new favorite player, and my brother actually responded to that, not too pleased at me, but I love watching him. He's a blast to watch, and he's doing things that nobody's ever done before.
Kind of a negative side to that. The Jays rolled out Tanner Roark the other day, and he was a complete gas can. I'm not sure if you caught it, but in a situation like that where a guy's aging, he's got a ton of mileage on him, and he just can't get it done. Like, how many more times do you see this guy going to the mound if he does at all?
Yeah, you know, I did watch, and it wasn't pretty. And, you know, it's the first start of the year. There are plenty of guys that went out and got lit up in the first start. You know, Luis Castillo comes to mind, a lot of big names, and he's obviously, he doesn't have that sort of stuff anymore. But, you know, you can't throw them away after one start. But if you start running out a few more like that and keep throwing like that, it just, you know, it's tough, man. And it's going to be tough to keep running him out there. And I don't think they will. I don't, if this continues for another start or two, I don't think they will.
Ben, there's a lot of conversation around baseball this year have been the change in baseballs. I don't know if they're lighter or they're what the make of them is, but it's supposed to stop players from hitting home runs. What are your thoughts and opinions? And I believe your brother was very vocal about this and critical about guys hitting too many home runs. But what's your overall perception of this change in baseball?
Yeah, you know, I think so. What I heard is on balls that go like over 350 feet, it's going to affect them like 3 to 5 feet, somewhere in that area. So it's not drastic, but you know, we got to a point in baseball where, now look, I love watching guys hit homers. I love it. Yeah. But we got to a point that started getting frustrating for me. We would see guys like, you know, with the, you know, the butt out swing and just like flailing at the ball. And then it like goes out to center field. And they're just like, what? That's not supposed to happen. So if we can get less of that, but still plenty of home runs, I'm all for it. But I do think it got to the point where, look, I think this was their way of admitting that, yeah, maybe we did do a little something to the baseballs. I don't know. But them saying, you know what, we're going to tone them back a little bit, kind of seemed like maybe there was. But I'm all for it. I think if we can get less of those, like, you know, just flailing swings that go out, it's fine by me.
We're chatting with Ben Verlander, Fox Sports MLB analyst, and you can check out the Flipping Bats with Ben Verlander podcast. We were talking about the reaction down in New York today. The Mets walked off on a hit-by-a-pitch, bases-loaded play, which is like a unicorn in baseball. You don't see that too often, but it's a pretty cool way to finish it. And there was controversy there in terms of the way it was called, whether it should have been called, whether it was legit. But just the reaction in the crowd. And we referenced that McNeil in the ninth, you know, hit a solo shot to tie the game up and threw his bat basically into Manhattan, and the place was going crazy. And it's just awesome to see that there are fans. Like, some guy grabbed the ball in right field. He's got a bandana on, a beard, glasses.
So much more juice now, man.
It's awesome. Like, it's alive. It's like baseball is alive. And, you know, I was so appreciative of the fact that sports came back in the spring and summer. I just wanted to witness sports and see sports, but you can just tell it was so hollow. And now that we're back to seeing fans in the stands, kind of feels like the players are picking up on that, and it's adding to the emotion in the game.
Man, they definitely are. The players are definitely picking up on it. You know, you mentioned my podcast, Flipping Bats, and I've had, you know, we just kind of started it up at Fox, and I've had a few different interviews, but basically the consensus across the board is that even in spring training, guys were just pumped. You know, I had Jeff McNeil on the other day, actually, who hit that home run you were talking about, and he talked about it. Like, it's just, it feels different. And I watched that whole game today, man, and it just from, you know, it's the home opener. Everybody was super pumped up. Lindor's there. The energy in the crowd when McNeil hit that homer, it just, like, I don't know, man. It just like gives me chills thinking about it. Like it's back, and it's almost like the whole country needed this. Like people are in games at games losing their minds, and players are too. Like McNeil hit that huge homer and he flips his bat and celebrated, and it was just so cool. And really just unfortunate for the game to end the way it did. But what a great game. And like you said, so awesome seeing fans back.
Yeah, it's been a really cool start to the year. It's going to be a fun year for sure. He is Ben Verlander of Fox Sports and the Flipping Bats with Ben Verlander podcast. Good luck with that, Ben. Really appreciate you finding time for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Ben Verlander. Yeah, that scene down in New York was pretty incredible. That's Marlins, how it ended, the bat flip from McNeil is crazy. But, you know, it puts us in a different spot, obviously, up here in Toronto. We're not dealing with that. The Leafs are playing here. We can't go see them. The Jays are in Dunedin. TSC's not going to be here. The Argos, we don't know when they're going to start or what that's even going to look like. The Raptors have been in Tampa all year. So it's a different world. It's a different experience, but at least from a viewing standpoint, it changes the way you view it. It changes the way it looks.
You talk about viewing, Brian. In the NFL playoffs, they had that, what is it, the 5G camera or whatever it is?
Yep.
That Fox camera.
What?
Yeah. That Fox camera that was like so clear.
So clear and so down low and basically on the field. I think that adds so much to the broadcast, and they're doing it in the Masters. It's just a cool look when you're that close to the player's golf bag, like they're the views of their putts. I think that's really cool. And secondly, I have the NFL version of Sharp Week that we're going to be documenting, and it will be on our week. Let me just say this to you gentlemen. 28-3.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Matt Ryan.
We will get Jeremy Schapp on the horn and whoever was down there, and we'll do a full thing on that chart.
Yep. It's a perfect example in the NFL. Yeah. How about the Bills, right? We get Norwood on talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just get right to the bottom of it. We need to go right to the source.
Well, and we can combine things, get Jerry Crum on it too, kind of get in there, do some investigating.
Absolutely.
And Hayes, this is not throwing shade at you because you're a Packers fan, but just because Aaron Rodgers was on Jeopardy early on this week and got asked the question, LaFleur's decision to kick the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down there.
Absolutely. That has to be included. Matt LaFleur has to be on the show. I think Rodgers is actually doing a pretty good job on Jeopardy. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I've watched a couple of the episodes.
Why would he want that? I give him credit for kind of, you know, getting outside of his comfort zone, but
I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He claims he'd like to do it permanently.
Yeah, he wants to do pre-tapes and have it run through the season.
It's the best gig possible. Like Trebek, I've heard Trebek, when he was alive, interviewed many times on this. They basically knock out the whole year in about 14 days.
Yeah.
So they go in there and they knock out episode after episode after episode. He's probably making $10 or $12 million a year for 2 weeks of work.
Wow.
And it's just money. And you bring everything together. You do. Rodgers could do it during the offseason. Absolutely.
Yeah,
fly
sure.
into L.A., knock out some shows, and, you know, I think it's something that he's genuinely intrigued by. But I think it's also just one of those opportunities that no one gets ever, you know. And someone probably called him, and he's like, why not? 30 years from now, I could say I hosted Jeopardy. It's a pretty cool spot. And he's doing a pretty good job. But, and I keep thinking, again, hearkening back to fans and the different experiences – what it would be like in this town with the Leafs playing the way that they're playing. And, you know, they're winning games. They're entertaining games. Matthews is chugging. Marner's chugging. This Jack Campbell story. Like, you could get a read on the popularity of a player based on going to the rink night in, night out, and seeing how many jerseys start sprouting out, you know, and just start blossoming. All of a sudden, show up there one game, and there's five guys with a Campbell jersey.
Or another thing, starting lineup. Can you imagine the ovation Campbell would get when they announced him in the net and everybody's skating around?
Yeah.
It would be insane.
No.
People have been dying for this and waiting for this for years, and they're not allowed.
No, we're not. And it is a missed opportunity. I mean, it's It's not that anyone can do anything about it. It's not anyone's fault that COVID-19 showed up on our door.
Well, it is someone's fault, but I'm not getting into
it. Not to this extent. Yeah. Not now. Not. It doesn't matter what happens with anything else. No one's getting into the building down in the States. If they are, it's like 10%. I'm talking a packed house where you go for dinner beforehand. Everyone walks in. Scalpers are going crazy. Union Station's buzzing. Like that was not accessible regardless of what could have happened over the last 6 months. But eventually it will be back. And all you can do is cross your fingers that this team is still plugging, you know, and still doing what they're doing. And I fully expect that with the big boys. You know, like Matthews and Marner are 23, 24 years old. They're just into their prime. They're going to be at the top of their games for the next 3 to 5 years, and we are going to be able to take advantage of that. The Jack Campbell story, I don't know. I mean, realistically, that's not going to happen again anytime soon. First time in franchise history that someone's won 10 games in a row. But
and maybe this is the guy that could be the starting goaltender after this year, right? You don't know where that conversation goes. And obviously, this has been a nice run for Jack Campbell. And if he continues it, maybe he solidified himself as the go-to guy next year.
Yep. Well, and with Freddie being a free agent at the end of the year, I don't know how that works with Seattle and the expansion draft and all that. Like, if you sign him after the draft, then you wouldn't have to protect him, so you could protect Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who's going to be available, what goalies are going to be available, who Seattle might be looking at. But it wouldn't shock me if Campbell was on the radar exposed.
It's very delicate situation, and you got to know what you're doing. You got to read the situation properly, because goaltenders, there is such thing. If you want to even go back to a guy like Jim Carrey, who was lights out off the charts, but it wasn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any other examples of gold. There has to be examples of
The Hamburglar.
Yeah, the Hamburglar. Remember how horny everybody was about that guy?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So it's
he went
like
on like a 20-2 run to get the Sens into the playoffs.
And everybody was like, this guy's the next Dominic Hasek. Guess what? Yeah. He's been on 5 teams, and he's not even in the league anymore.
Yeah.
So you got to read the situation carefully. I know that Jack Campbell is probably not that. I hope he's not that. But it's just, if you want to put your eggs all in one basket and say this is our guy going forward and things don't work out, it's a tough one.
Yep, it absolutely is. That's a big part of management and just making those tough calls.
Yeah.
Day one of the Masters down at Augusta. We'll head back down there. Mark Rolfing of the Golf Channel will join us to set the scene, and we'll circle back on where our teams are at, what we want to do here with our draft. Because
dude, I just saw your picks. You guys aren't that bad.
I'm actually not that bad. I am lapping, in terms of collective points.
Are we still doing it or not? A coin flip?
Yes, I'm going to get a coin. I'm going to get a coin.
Carlo will go get a coin. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
Think about it. Shark Week, this plane.
This is outstanding, guys. Outstanding. Must
happen. You see a guy in white underpants.
Oh, my goodness.
And then pulling a LeBron chair.
That's right.
This is it. This is the theme song. This is what you got with a little bit of Faldo in there. Every once in a while, a little bit of Faldo.
Just, oh my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Just
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
We shouldn't have our own show.
No, it's so stupid. It's so, you think about a guy more dignified in sports media than Mark Rolfing, who's waiting to come on the show. He's at Augusta National. He's probably got khakis on. He looks sharp. He looks great. Feels great. And we're rolling out Faldo. Shark Week. It's, yeah,
the next two breaks. We're playing it. We're coming.
Yeah, we're playing it. So this is where it currently stands. O versus Hayes in terms of our draft. You are plus 12 with all your picks. I am plus 7, mm-hmm. which is ultimately meaningless because it's day one of the tournament. But I think we have to keep our Canadian players clearly. You know, Hughes is at even par. Connor's at 1 over. So they're playing pretty well. But you want to flip a coin and you can replace one guy. Is that what you're telling me?
That's it. By the way, you said your team's not that bad. Your team sucks too, buddy.
It sucks. Yeah, it does. It's terrible.
Okay.
It's not a good
Hayes,
team.
You can call it. I called the last one. If you win it, you get.
Are we doing it right now?
Yeah, yes. I guess we'll flip it. Why not?
All right, guys, you know how hard it was to find a coin in my house?
It's 2021, man.
Seriously.
Flip a credit card or something.
Found it, though.
I'll go with tails. Tails.
Hayes is calling it. Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Flip on my hand into the camera.
Is that a
tails?
Tails it is. Ooh,
there's the heads.
Ooh, the bachelor. I am being handed a rose.
I get Justin Rose, but do I get somebody?
Yeah, we both get
the
flip. Of course we get flip. So I guess as of now, I think I've got to take – who do I have to get rid of here? Probably Cameron Smith. Yeah, I'll replace Cameron Smith with Justin Rose.
Wow.
I like it. What an update. That's a 10-stroke swing. Okay, I'm on Rosie. I got
you
Rosie.
You just went to even. You just went to even with your score.
Yeah,
I'll do mine after we talk to Rolf.
Okay, so you put some thought into it. I'm assuming you're going to drop DeChambeau, but
no, Rory. I have more faith in DeChambeau coming back.
Okay, well, let's get to the
good
bottom
call.
Of this from
good
NBC and the Golf Channel. He is golf analyst Mark Rolfing. Thank you for doing this, Mark. What's going on down there?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out whether Justin Rose is playing over at Augusta Country Club next door or whether or not he played Augusta National today. It's just beyond belief to me what he did in that round to turn it around. He basically played the last 11 holes in 9 under par. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, Rolf, we were talking about that at the beginning of our show. We started at 4. And our host, Brian, said Dustin Johnson's really got nothing to worry about at +2 because you can kind of wiggle your way back into this tournament. Do you have kind of any confidence that Justin Rose could follow that up? I know it's tough to do at that golf course, but if he does, it's kind of out of reach, isn't it?
Well, if he does, the answer would be yes. I don't think, you know, as they always say, you can't win the Masters on Thursday, but you can lose it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he won the Masters today by any means, and it was certainly something that I didn't see coming, nor did anybody else. He's been hurt. His game has suffered. He's been, in the last couple of years, through a major equipment change that didn't work. He had scheduling problems. He's taken, you know, long periods of time off. There was just no indication that this was going to happen. So let's see if he can make it happen a couple days in a row.
Yeah, I'm not overly confident that that'll be the case, but now that I have him in the pool, we just made a trade. I guess I'm rooting for him with Mark Rolfing from the Golf Channel. And just prior to having you on, we were talking about two big names that had tough days. DeChambeau's still on the course. He's at 4-over through 15. McIlroy's in the clubhouse at 4-over as well. Of those two guys, which do you have more faith in getting it back together and making the cut starting tomorrow?
I got more faith in McIlroy, believe it or not. I think you guys were talking about maybe having more faith in DeChambeau, but I will tell you, I just don't like his game plan. He made his first birdie finally at the 15th hole, but he's trying to hit this new driver. It's got 5 degrees of loft, and, you know, he can hit it a long way, but he is hitting it all over Georgia, and he's trying to drive it on holes over the trees at number 1, over the trees at number 11, you know. And the further you hit it, the more crooked you hit it, and the more crooked you hit it when you hit it that far, the worse trouble it gets in. I don't like his game plan. You can't play Augusta that way, I don't believe. And I thought Rory held it together pretty well today. And he's notorious for starting badly and then coming back and shooting a good one tomorrow.
Rolf, how do these guys – like, they have these teams, psychiatrist, fitness guy, stretching guy, range guy. How does Bryson not have a guy to pull him aside and say, take your 5-degree driver and shove it and just have a normal setup and just try to use your power on some particular holes, basically the par fives, and your overall game, as you showed at Bay Hill and for the most part at Sawgrass, do that and you got a good chance to win. It's overthinking it.
Yeah, I think the problem is this team is nothing but scientists. You know, there aren't a lot of artists on his team. There's not a lot of creativity. It's all a formula, and they believe in the formula, and they believe it's going to work. But, you know, Augusta National is not a paint-by-numbers kind of golf course. You need some imagination. And, you know, Jack Nicklaus was in with us yesterday morning on the show, and he was just kind of scratching his head because, you know, Jack Grout was Nicklaus's teacher his entire life, but he told us that Jack Grout never once came on to the practice range with him at a tournament, let alone having four or five or eight or ten guys, you know, on these people's teams that are coming up with all these formulas. Bryson DeChambeau is a great putter. He's a phenomenal putter. He's got a good short game. He should not be taking the kind of chances that he's taking.
Mark, you talked about a guy with a good putter. Jordan Spieth has been a guy, you know, putting really well lately, playing really well lately, and leading up to this tournament, I believe he was one of the tournament favorites. He's sitting at plus one right now, and you just talked about the run that Justin Rose was on. I think he finished the last 11 holes minus nine. You think Jordan Spieth is still in contention here and could make, a push here in the next couple days?
Yeah, I hope he learned a lesson at number nine. He drove it in the trees. He actually drove it pretty well today for him, especially considering he's got a new driver. The one he won with last week, he cracked during the tournament in San Antonio and had to take out a play. So he's got a new driver this week. I thought he drove it well, but then he hit the trees at number nine and tried to play a miracle shot out and ricocheted off the trees. Ended up making a seven on the hole. Now, I just went through the stats. The last time a player made a seven on a hole and won the Masters was 1982. Hmm. 40 years it's been since a guy made a seven and won. That doesn't mean he can't do it, but he certainly cannot make another mistake like that. And as good as he is, you just shouldn't be taking chances like that, especially on a Thursday. If it was Sunday and you were three behind, okay, I can see it. But if he'd have chipped it out and made a five, obviously he'd had a score that was two shots lower.
We chatted with Mark Rolfing of the Golf Channel, day one of the Masters down at Augusta. And again, Justin Rose shot a seven under. He has a four-shot lead after the first round. But I'm looking a little bit further down the leaderboard. Guys who had pretty good days with big names and that have that pedigree. A guy like Patrick Reed, who's won there before, he's at two under. You've got John Rahm shot an even par. Schauffele, an even par. Morikawa's at even through 14. Those names right there intrigue me, Mark. Like, those are guys that were favorites, you know, top 10, top 15 players in the world, and they did enough just to stay in it on day one.
I'm with you. I actually like Reed. He was one of my pre-tournament picks. For a guy like Patrick Reed, I think the tougher the conditions, the better, and the wind is supposed to come up a little bit this weekend. What he wants is a scenario where players are missing a lot of greens, and you're having to chip and pitch and scramble around these greens because he's the best in the world at that. I don't think anybody that shot even or one over or even two over is out of it yet by any means. You know, what Rose did was shit. It was a full six strokes better than anybody's done this afternoon. He's got a four-shot lead to begin with, but he's six better than anybody that played in the afternoon. So it's highly unlikely that's going to happen again tomorrow.
Of all the years I've watched the Masters, I don't know if I've ever seen the greens. I mean, Augusta's obviously known for everything being green, but those greens are almost like browning out on Thursday. Was that part of the game plan of, like, we're going to show these guys a speed that they're not quite familiar with, have never seen here before?
Well, you know, they have an amazing way, this committee, of tightening the screws on this golf course. And when somebody goes out and shoots 20 under par like Dustin Johnson did in November, it's probably no surprise, you know, that they came back at the other end of the spectrum. Now, there has been prediction of some rain. It was supposed to rain this afternoon a little. It never did. Now they're talking about 70% chance tomorrow, maybe. So I'll imagine what they did was took them right to the edge, expecting a little bit of precipitation, and it didn't happen. I think now they're probably hoping it does rain just a little bit because those greens are right on the edge. I've never really seen them look like this, maybe on a Sunday at the Masters, but certainly not on a Thursday.
Well, it's going to be an awesome 4 days. Great stuff as always, Mark. We really appreciate you taking time. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Take care.
There's Mark Rolfing of the Golf Channel. And again, the Golf Insider Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. So we flipped the coin just prior to having Mark on, and I'm switching out Cameron Smith for Rose. I don't think Rose is going to hold on to this. Like, I'm not overly comfortable with it, but he's off to such a great start. I can't turn my back on that. That's a 10-stroke swing in one round. So you have the ability to drop someone. You can drop whoever you want, and you can pick up whoever you want. You're on the clock.
I am going to take your boy. I'm going to dump Rory, and I'm going to take Webb Simpson.
Yeah, I like it. Club cleaning.
Carlo,
and all.
Every time this guy tees it up, he texts me and says, why does Webb Simpson have so much suntan lotion on his face? Every time. I'm like, outrageous. I don't know.
Yeah, he's the only guy. He's got it everywhere. Like, he's baking in this.
Yeah.
And he's got his little string where he cleans his clubs. And that video the other day was just absurd. But, okay, I like that play. I mean, Simpson was 2-under today. That's a big swing. So you're going to drop McIlroy,
yes.
And you're going to pick up Webb Simpson. Okay, and that's it. That's enough.
No, one more. You get one more tomorrow, and I get to choose first because you got today.
One more tomorrow. Okay. All right, I'll give you that. Then we go into the weekend clean, and it's over. That's enough.
It's over.
This is already ridiculous that we're making trades.
No.
Nah, this is fun, man.
Canadians,
fun.
You can't change. You can't change your Canadian.
Canadians, you got all the way to the – to the well. Okay, I like it.
I think this is a fair thing you guys should do with every tournament because it's so hard to predict 4 days into it, but you should at least get one guy you should be able to change after day one.
Yeah. I can't tell you how bad my other picks are. Like, it's just it's just the combination. Like, I'm in this pool and we've taken 11 guys and it's day one, so there's going to be a lot of movement. By this time tomorrow, you're going to look at the board, it's going to be a lot different, but it's pretty ugly. It's pretty ugly. And basically anyone that's got, you know, Rose, if you've taken Matsuyama, if you've got Simpson, Reed, you're in a good spot. You know, there's only so many guys under par.
Yeah.
How many guys are under par right now? There's maybe 8 guys, 12 guys?
Mm-hmm.
12 guys under par? That's pretty incredible how tough it's playing. So,
12 guys.
Yeah.
And speaking of McIlroy, did you guys see that tweet that the Grappler just sent out about how he gets better at the Masters after day one? In the round one of his scores, he's plus 32 at the tournament. Rounds 2 to 4, he's minus 64.
I might be picking him up tomorrow. That might be my pick tomorrow is McIlroy catching a heater, shooting a 61 tomorrow. And
didn't that happen at the Players? When you had McIlroy, you dropped him, and then he shot like minus 8.
No, it was the last Masters. He dumped McIlroy.
Oh, was it November?
He started charging up the leaderboard.
What just happened. What just happened. I dropped McIlroy, and then he started charging. He
there
finished like T6. Just dropped him, and guess what's going to happen?
No, it's not happening.
Well, we'll see. Your boy DeChambeau looks brutal out there. Like, I love that. Why would you, like a 5-degree driver?
Because he wants to be a hero. Like,
yeah, that's
just,
all
it's
it is.
It's
heroics.
Just so ridiculous, man.
It's heroics, and it's burning him, man, and we'll see what he's got. But it's a more entertaining tournament if he's in it, so
yes.
I hope he makes a cut. But apparently my boy Sungjae Im is on tilt. He took a quad on 15.
What?
I'm reading about this. Apparently he was over the green in 2. He was over the green in 2 on 15, and he cards a 9, and then he's steaming on 16. He takes a bogey on 16.
Wow.
Yeah, Sungjae Im is not
trunk slamming.
In a good
he's
spot.
Just trunk slamming.
He is really not in a good place. We'll come back and look back on the Leaf game, tee up the Jays and Raptors one more time as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It's the greatest theme song.
Unbelievable. It's genius.
It's the greatest opening.
Material.
It's better than the Sopranos opening.
That's the opening. That's the opening for our show every day. Forget about music. That's the opening of our show.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh, the Faldo's coming. Faldo's like a great white shark.
Shark.
Oh, my goodness.
Watch yourself. Don't lean over the boat. There's Faldo.
Oh, my goodness.
In your life!
Yeah, there's a lot of
my goodness.
A lot of options, and this is how we're going to be rolling here. We're very excited. And it's going to be a fun weekend. And, again, the Masters is off and running. The course looks incredible, like always. Beautiful weather up here in Toronto. And as a result, you know, I think a lot of people are golfing, even though we're dealing with the whole stay-at-home order. And
dude, I'm in Collingwood. It was like 25 degrees today. It was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's incredible outside today. Incredible outside. But and the Leafs are rolling, right? The Leafs won again last night, and we're getting closer to the trade deadline. There are a couple of trades going on throughout the league. The Islanders picking up Palmieri and Zajac from New Jersey, and a few players going back and forth between Florida and Chicago. And we wait and see what happens up here in Toronto and throughout the Canadian division for that matter. And the Jays are back in action tonight. But the big news is really about Springer. George Springer is going to remain on the IL. And it's a low-grade quad strain. But Montoya effectively said, don't count on him playing anytime soon. Not going to play during this homestand, more than likely. That takes you through April 15th. And that's about, what, 14, 15 games into the year. No Springer. So other guys are going to have to carry their weight. Grichuk's been pretty good. Like, he's played pretty well at center. And his bat has come alive. So that obviously has been fine. And Semien's played pretty well, you know, hitting leadoff. And he'll DH tonight. But you got Trout, you got Ohtani in town for four. The Angels are off to a pretty good start. Pretty good start.
What kind of fan base are they letting in that stadium?
It's based on a percentage. I'm not sure what they think they're going to get. Not sure what they believe they're going to get.
At Dunedin?
Yeah.
In Dunedin? I think they said 1,900 fans, I think is what I read.
Yeah, because I think capacity is $8,000, right? So
yeah,
I think
like
it's
that.
20% or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's still Canadians down there. Probably still a number of Canadians down at Dunedin.
That haven't come home.
Have not come home, right? Went down there, did their thing, and they're staying down there, and they're watching. Like, that'd be kind of cool. If you're from Toronto, you had a spot down there in Florida, go watch the Jays play when no one else that's from Canada or lives in Canada can go see them play live.
Dude, what's the amount you're allowed to stay in the States? Is it like 6 months at a time, then you got to come home?
Yeah, 6 months minus a day.
Don't you think that people are just saying, what are they going to do, throw me in jail for staying an extra couple months? I would bet there would be lots of people that are saying, I'm not going back.
Yeah,
I'm not going back.
Yeah. I think it's more based on taxes and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know how that works.
Chances, too. I'd be like, I'm not going back right now. Forget it.
Well, especially what we're walking into now. Imagine driving home now, and it's like you got to just go right home and obviously quarantine and all that kind of stuff. But if you're down there, and you think you can deal with the heat, you've got nothing else cooking, why wouldn't you stay down there? If you're allowed to stay in Florida right now, and you're in, let's say, a nice complex, you can play some golf, you can hang out inside, maybe you got access to a pool.
Yeah.
That's not bad, you know?
A pool, a patio.
Patio.
You can go sit on a patio there.
Yep, that would work too. that would be a pretty good option. Like, tonight would be patio. You talk, imagine the Jays were having a home opener down the dome tonight with the weather being what it is. What downtown would be like on a Thursday night, 20 degrees out, it would be rocking. It would just be an amazing vibe.
Amazing
downtown.
Vibe. Leafs heating up, Jays, patios.
Yep. Tonight's the night. Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. You have Matthews at the game with Jack Campbell. They'd show him on the Jumbotron. The place would go nuts, 50,000 people. Jays walk off and just – parade into the streets and have a blast. And, you know, it's obviously not happening. They're not even up here. They're having a home opener in Dunedin, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But we look forward to that tonight. The Raptors are at home against Chicago, also down in the Tampa area. And it's a must-win for them. They're two games back of the Bulls. No Van Vliet. He's been suspended. He wasn't probably going to play anyway. No Lowry. And Bembry was suspended as well for a game. He's been starting games recently. This Bulls team is young. They're inexperienced. They're not that good either. But if you think you have a shot at battling into that 10th spot in the play-in, it's a must-win tonight.
Yeah.
Must-win.
Or remember, the Bulls were buyers at the deadline. They made that big trade with Orlando and picked up Vucevic. Like, they're actually trying to make the playoffs.
Well, they're in a different world, right? They've been so irrelevant, so bad for so long. Like, it would mean something to them.
Yeah.
Up here in Toronto, you can't sell Raptors. Well, you might sell some of them. Probably half the crowd would be fine with a play-in, some extra games, see what happens, roll the dice. Half the crowd would probably prefer bottom out, high draft pick, stay in the lottery, see what happens. But in Chicago, I'm sure they're all thinking, enough with the drafting and enough with trying to win a lottery, do something.
Well, I'm sure Billy Donovan's a factor in that, too. He just signed there, and he probably said, you better make some plays here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So the Raptors and Jays in action tonight. The Leafs are not back in action until Saturday night. Nothing on William Nylander today. So I guess that's a positive, you know, pardon the pun.
But I think I read a report that he's staying in COVID protocols right now.
He's got to, right? I'm guessing he's got to go through day after day after day of testing, and we'll see if he's available come Saturday night. First up, with Landsberg and Koliakovo, every day, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Great stuff, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m. as always. It's always great having you on. Noodles will be back tomorrow. Noodles, he's got his Norman hoodie, so it'll be a three-pack tomorrow.
Love it, boys.
More drafting. It's going to be a wild show. We look forward to it. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We are back tomorrow at?
Shark Week is in June. 4
p.m. We'll chat then.